Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out. Now, here's what I want you to say. New year, new you, not yet. Say it like you mean it. New year, new you. Not yet. I mean, we're only 4 days into this thing, so we don't know. We don't really know where it's going for you, but the potential is there. The potential for you to become everything that God has called you to be is already inside of you. You've just got to learn how to unlock it. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today as we start our new series called Origins, where we're going to be walking through the storyline of the book of Genesis. Now, the reason Genesis was written is because for 400 years, the people of Israel had been in slavery in Egypt. They grew up with Egyptian culture. They were shaped by Egyptian thinking. And that also included the Egyptian gods and the story of creation from the Egyptian perspective. And so, the writer of Genesis is going back and showing them how this thing actually started and why human beings exist in the first place. How many of you want to know why you exist? That should be the number one question on your mind is, why am I here? Am I just an accident, or is there a purpose for my life? And so Genesis starts off like this. Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We need to know that everything started with God, which means that God gives meaning to everything, including you. When we get to Genesis 1:26, I want to read this with you because it's going to start showing us why we are here, why God took time to make people like you and me. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our what? Image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. The earth. The big idea is humanity was not an afterthought. It was done intentionally, which means you are not an accident. You are here for a purpose, and God wants you to live inside that purpose, and everything that you need to accomplish it is already inside of you. But I really want to look at this idea of being the image of God, because what does that mean? It means that we were designed to carry and represent the nature of God here on earth as his representatives. That's why you exist, to be a reflection of who God is in your world, so that when people see you, they actually see a picture of God. That's amazing. When they see how you do life, they should see how God would do life. When they see how you do marriage, they should see how God would do marriage. When they see how you interact with people, they should actually get a visual image of how God himself would interact with people. And when it comes to being the image of God, the key word there is to be. Turn to the person next to you and say, to be. We tend to like to-do lists. We want a checklist of all the things that we are supposed to do in order to be the image of God, but that actually gets it backwards. It's not about what you do, it's about who you are being. In other words, if I will simply take time to be the image of God, then the things I do will flow from it. It will be effortless. It's like this. If I had an apple seed here, I don't have to have a conversation with that apple seed and tell it, hey, you can grow a tree. You need to grow something. You need to produce fruit. I don't have to do that. All I have to do is take that seed and place it in the right environment. And if that seed is in the right environment, then it will do what it was designed to do. The same thing is true for you. If you are in the right environment, you don't have to worry about what you do, because by being who you've been called to be, the do will flow. Turn to the person next to you and say, the do will flow. I've seen God do so many things in my life. I have seen God transform the way I think. I have seen God transform the way I live. I have seen God transform the way I do relationships. And as I reflect on that, I realize it had very little to do with what I did, and it had everything to do with who I connected myself to. Because proper connection will bring proper results. I want to show you this. This right here is a guitar cable. And the purpose of this guitar cable is to carry the sound of the guitar. Now, this cable by itself does not make the music. It is not the source of the song. It is just a carrier of it. As long as it is plugged into the guitar, it will do what it's designed to do. If that makes sense. But if it is disconnected, then watch this. All it does is make a lot of noise. See, a lot of us never function in our purpose because we're not connected to the right source. John 15:5, Jesus says this. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Look at this. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So what he's saying is, if you will connect to me, the result of that connection will be fruit. It's not something that you have to work for. It's not something that you have to strive after. It just simply happens by having the proper connection. If we connect to Christ, we will be connected to our purpose. When I say connect to Christ, I'm talking about a true connection to Christ, a relationship, an understanding that it is in him that we live, that we move, that we have our very being. I think the issue is that there are a lot of people who use the terminology of I am a Christian, but they've never really taken time to connect and abide. Because if you take time to connect and abide, fruit will be the result. Jesus says, you want to know how you can identify those who follow me? By the fruit you see. And what's amazing is the fruit that you see has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with who you are connected to. So this year, if we're going to move in our potential, we have to make sure that we are connected to the right source. Who is that source? It is Jesus Christ. And it's important because every single one of us were born into a life where we were disconnected from the source. And he's the only one that can connect us back in. But see, it's not just our connection with Christ that is important. It is also our connection with one another. And this is where a lot of people miss it, because they think that this Christian thing is just all about me and Jesus and our walk together, and they fail to understand that we were designed to do life in community. When you go back to Genesis and you see God create everything and put everything in its proper place, he looks at every aspect of his creation and he says, it is what? Good. But when he takes man And he places him in the garden alone. For the first time, you hear God say, "This is not good. It's not good for man to be alone." So he creates for him a helper. He gives him a wife for the purpose of building community. Because together we become the image of God. It's about the individuals coming together. It is in our coming together that we become strong. It's when the finger is attached to the hand, that is attached to the arm, that is attached to the torso, that it receives its power. You know, Natalie, if I walked up to you and poked you with my finger, it may bother you a little bit, but I promise you it's not going to knock you out. But when this finger comes together with this hand that is attached to this arm, that is attached to this torso, it will break you. Why? Because there's power in our coming together. Every gift that God has placed inside of your life is designed to be there to benefit someone else. Which means the only way your gift can truly come alive and thrive is when it comes into connection with someone else. If you want to find your potential in 2026, not only do we have to make it our mission to connect to Christ and his image, but we have to make it our mission to connect with one another, to be an example of what Christ's kingdom looks like here on this earth, where we love one another, we build one another, we encourage one another, we strengthen one another, we do all of these things that we were designed to do. Because that's how the image is seen. The image can only be seen by us being who we were called to be. The second thing is, you want to walk in your potential this year, you can't get distracted. This is a big one. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything you need will be added unto you." But what I really wanted us to see is it says, "Seek first the kingdom." What is the kingdom? The kingdom is God's complete rule, reign, and authority. Jesus is saying that should be your priority in life. Your number one mission should be to seek my way of living. Why? Because my way of living leads to what life is truly all about. Sometimes we get into such a mess because we're trying to figure out life on our own. We want to do things our way. A lot of the pain that we have experienced in life is a result of us saying, "I will make my own decisions. I will do relationships the way I want to do relationships. I will do marriage and family the way I want to do marriage and family." And what happens is it ends up breaking us. But Jesus says, "I make known to you the path of life. In my presence is the fullness of joy." What's he saying? If you'll just get in the right motion and keep your eyes fixed on where I'm taking you, I will actually take you into this place of life and peace and thriving that is found in only me. And he says, that's got to be your number one priority, to seek first. Now, here's the thing, though. If our number one priority should be to seek first the kingdom of God, what do you think the enemy's number one priority is going to be? To distract you. He wants to distract you because if he can take your eyes off where God is calling you to go, he can bring an end to your purpose. You may expend a lot of energy, you may do a lot of things, but you'll never fulfill who God has called you to be because you're looking at the wrong thing. It's important for us to understand that the enemy does not have to destroy your life. All he has to do is distract you, and you'll destroy yourself. Get distracted, you'll destroy your family. Get distracted, you'll destroy your marriage. Get distracted, you'll destroy your finances. And so everything he does, he comes at us trying to distract us from our purpose because he knows when we walk in purpose, when we come together and become the people that God has called us to be, that's when we have maximum impact. Do you realize what we could accomplish here as a people if we would all decide in 2026, I am going to be the image of God everywhere that I go? Do you know what would happen if we got serious about this thing we call church and not just make it a part of our life, but make it a part of who we actually are, our identity as the people of God? We would change our world because we would influence society by actually becoming the light of the world. See, people should look at the way I do life and desire what I have based upon the results that they see. They should look at how I do marriage and go, I want that. There's something about the way he does that I want that because the results I see. That's what it means to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. It actually begins to draw people to Christ to get tapped into what you've already connected yourself to. If people don't desire what you have to question, am I truly connected? Am I truly focused, or have I lived distracted? I'll be honest with you. A lot of people are distracted. Tomorrow morning, I'll be speaking at a church in South Carolina, and I'll be speaking to a staff, and so I was doing some studies, and the town that I'll be speaking in has 27,000 people living in it. Now, national studies show that only 47% of people who call themselves Christians will attend church once a month. Think about that. And we wonder why we're suffering. We wonder why we're not thriving. Do you know what would happen if I cut off your water supply? You would start to malfunction. Did you know what's more important than that? It is the breath of God in you, because that is where life truly is. So we got to be connected. We can't get distracted. The third thing is we can't get discouraged. Here's the big idea. As you become the person that God has called you to be and fruit starts growing, people are going to be drawn to that. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before, but I was thinking about my grandfather the other day because he was such an amazing person who loved God with all of his heart. And the reason he loved God the way he did is because God truly changed his life. And because God changed his life, he decided, I'm going to commit my life to Christ. Think about that. When I truly believe that Jesus did what he did for me, it only makes sense that I would commit myself to him. But because of that commitment that he had with Christ, there was something about him that was noticeable when you were around him. There was a tangible presence that you felt. And I would leave the room going, I want what he has. See, that's what it's intended to do. It's intended to draw people to God. And as you begin to walk out this thing, that there's going to be times that you slip up and fail. And you can't get discouraged with yourself. You've got to learn how to get back up and just keep on moving. But also, you've got to realize that not every person you do the right thing to will get the right response. Maybe some of you have experienced that before. You've tried to love someone who didn't love you back. You tried to be kind to someone who wasn't kind in return. You tried to witness to somebody who just didn't want to hear what you have to say. That can be discouraging. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, it says, don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap if you don't give up. What that means is if you'll keep on being who God has called you to be, eventually the seed will take. There will be a response at some point. Do you know what freed me up? And I believe this will free you up too. It's a story that Jesus told about the seed and the ground. He says, it's like a man who would go and scatter seed. And as he scatters the seed, it lands on four different kinds of soil. Now, based upon the kind of soil it lands on, determines the response it gets. Good soil gets a good response. Bad soil gets a negative response. Here's what set me free about that. I realized I'm not responsible for the soil. I'm just responsible to scatter the seed. So it doesn't matter how people respond. I will scatter seed. And the guarantee is 25% of that seed will connect and will grow. I don't get to determine where it will grow. I just got to make up my mind that every day I live, everywhere that I go, I'm going to scatter seed. How do I scatter seed? Through how I live, through how I love, through how I speak. I live countercultural. There's something different about me. Why? Because I am sowing seed. And by sowing seed, this thing we call the kingdom begins to grow. I want to challenge you with something. And I don't know if you like challenges or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because I was thinking about the power we have when we come together. In 2026, we should make it our mission, our personal individual mission, to invite 26 people to church. Now watch this. If just 100 of our church people decided, I'm going to do that, Pastor, that means there would be 2,600 new people show up to hear the gospel this year. That's mind-blowing. That's just 100 people saying, I will do it. I will work together. See, when we talk about reaching our world, it can seem like this giant elephant. And it's like, how do we take down this elephant? We do it by every person taking one bite at a time. It's about the finger being attached to the fist, that's attached to the arm, that's attached to the torso. See, it's not you doing everything, it's us working together. You're inviting and I'm inviting. I'm expressing the kingdom and you're expressing the kingdom. And what happens is this thing begins to grow, this thing begins to multiply, and we begin to make a dent in this world. We have the potential to do that. Because God says, I've given it to you. Everything that you need is already there. I started this sermon by New Year, New You, not yet. New Year, New You, not yet. Because we don't know where it's going. But the potential's there. But potential alone equals nothing. Potential is unlocked when you get the right patterns. The right pattern is, I'm going to be connected to the right source. I'm going to be connected to Christ and his people. I'm not going to get distracted. And let me promise you something. Distractions will happen in 2026. Things will happen that are beyond your control. And the purpose of those distractions is to take your eyes off where God is wanting to take you. And you've got to be tenacious enough to say, I'm not shifting my focus. I am committing, I am going all in, and I will keep on moving no matter what happens. And you can't get discouraged. You can't give up. Church, we have the ability to reach our world. And that's what I want to do. I want to leave a mark. I want to leave a legacy. See, I'm not just building a church for me. I'm building a church for my kids. We are building a church for our grandkids. We are building something for our great-grandkids, something that will last and stand the test of time. But it takes a group of people saying, I believe we can do it. I believe there is more. I know there's more. I know there is more for this church than what we have currently experienced on Sunday morning. God has already prepared it for us. He's just waiting on a group of people to say, I will go, I will do, I will possess, I will take hold of everything that God says I can have. You know what scares me the most? The thing that frightens me the most is looking Jesus in the eye one day and him showing me all the things I could have done that I never accomplished. Seeing the family I could have had that I didn't get. The work we could have done that we never accomplished. And I've made up my mind, Tom, that's not happening to me. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be as effective as I can right here, right now. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Start living on mission, because not only will you grow, but you will start bringing other people into the kingdom of God. And that is why we exist. We exist to expand the kingdom so that the entire earth is filled with the glory of God. And that happens through people like you, and that happens through people like me. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.